for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday morning service of September the 5th, 1998, of the Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Colonel Speed Wilson is the speaker for the morning.
As Chief of Staff of the 9th Marine Amphibious Brigade in Vietnam, an air ground team of Marines, minimum strength of 20,000, maximum strength 25,000, and we were making 2 and 3 landings a month, and we were really clobbering the enemy and not losing near as many Marines. We were killing an average of 20 to 30 communists for every one Marine we lost. The shore base was about 10 to 1. And the commanding general had been evacuated from Vietnam with malaria and had amoebic dysentery. So I ended up with the command, General Kearney being very understanding. And so after about the third exercise that I had planned, I found right away it was a lot easier to go get shot at than it was to send people out to die. Particularly when you know about 3 of them are kids that you've held on your lap as sons of your friends. I never wanted to know what unit they were in. I didn't want to be influenced, but I knew they were there. And so I insisted that I participate in one of the night operations called pacification. Very simple. And General Kearney says, I can't approve that, but I can't keep you from it. So I felt that I could better function if I knew what went on the battlefield. And so I went on one. And a pacification is very, very effective. You block off an area where your intelligence tells you the enemy is, and you block off a mile or 2 miles to concentrate on them, and you land a group of Marines from a group of helicopters a mile long on one side, on the other side, and on the other side, and you box them in. And then in position, you wait until you get a squeal on the radio, a key, and a green flare. And then you just move in. And of course, they put a nice young captain with me to take care of the old man. So we were waiting. And waiting, like flying an airplane, it's endless hours of boredom, broken only by moments of stark horror. And that's about the way it is on the battlefield. It's endless hours of boredom, broken only by moments of stark horror. And while we were waiting, I heard off in the distance, oh, he touched me. And it got louder and louder and louder. And then the flare went and we moved in. We captured and or killed over 200 communists that night and didn't lose a single Marine. After it was over, I asked this young captain, I said, wasn't that beautiful before we moved out? And he says, yeah, Colonel, you'd be glad to know that happens pretty often. Hallelujah. Knowing the times and seasons, well, I'm sure you've been told you weren't to know. Well, as we've said before, 9 times in the New Testament says, I would not have you ignorant, brother. So, if you're ignorant, it's your own choice, but it's not God's choice. There's a joke that goes along with that. I love it. There's a beautiful young girl. I see quite a few here. And some who used to be beautiful young girls that are now beautiful mature ladies. And after all, I'm not leaving right after this meeting. And And so there were at least a dozen young men in that church congregation that just knew that she was to be their wife. And they were usually very spiritual about it, of course. As one pastor says, but really they just had an urge to merge. and that happens among young people. And I think it's funny, says, we don't need a sex education. Look around. We've been doing pretty good without it, you know. This sort of comes natural. And but this one girl just got fed up with this one guy that was so insistent in being very spiritual. He insisted on having a scriptural answer. So she took one of those scriptures I just quoted, and she repunctuated, and it came out this way. I would not have you, ignorant brother. What a difference a comma can make. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not going to make any dogmatic statements. I never do when I'm teaching, because some people have pointed out that what I taught back in 1968 and 70 is different from what I'm teaching today. But the basics remain the same. It's the details that vary as we go along. It's a progressive revelation. I could give you many scriptures to establish that it is a progressive revelation. And I'm convinced that the present truth resides in the body of Christ right now. What we're to know right now, if we could just sit down and exchange and quit arguing over straining at gnats and swallowing camels and accept each other as people of God. But I am making one dogmatic statement right now, and I won't back off on that, and that is the Word of God is truth. And as truth, it remains truth. Whether anybody believes it, understands it, or accepts it, makes no difference at all, it's still truth. And it has that quality of any pure truth, and that is that if you build on truth, it will work. Bible procedures do produce Bible results. And there's nothing in the Word that ever passed away, regardless of what your denominational might tell you. So we'll go from there. Well, you've been told that you're not to know. Well, that's a comfortable position, but it's dangerous. The church of the ignoramus, to know nots. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Jesus asked, you don't have to look there, it's just very short. By the time you get there, I'll be on something else. Just jot them down. But they said, is now the time you reestablish the nation of Israel? And he says, you're not to know the time nor season of when they'll again be a nation in Israel. But you wait here in Jerusalem until power has come from up on high, and then you'll have the power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And we pointed out last night that Daniel 9:24 had said the same thing, and that Daniel 9 was written to that group. Well, are we to know? Well, everyone knows Matthew 24:36, Mark 13:32, but of the coming of the Son of Man you shall not know the day nor the hour. Neither the angels know, the Son knows, but only the Father knows. Well, now, when I read that, having been in three wars and 13 major battles and campaigns, it didn't bother me a lot. Because when you get an operation order, you know the year for sure, and you know the month for sure, but the week, the day, and the hour, D-Day, H-Hour, are yet to be established by a separate message. Waiting for proper time. So not knowing the day and the hour was no problem, because Jesus didn't say we couldn't know the year, month, and week. It's just the day and the hour. So if I could come within a week, that would be close enough for government work and just wait around for whatever day and hour would come. But it's sort of reversed now. And then one day I was reading, after contemplating that, John 16:13. When the Father has sent the Holy Spirit, He, the Holy Spirit, will lead you into all truth, and He, the Holy Spirit, will what? Show you things to come. Well, I look back up in Matthew 24:36, Mark 13:32, and it's just the Son and the angels didn't know. Didn't say the Holy Spirit didn't. And so the Holy Spirit can show you. He knows. And, of course, another one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the first four verses. We won't quote the whole thing, but it says, but of the times and season, brethren and sisters, You have no reason for me to write to you, for you know perfectly well the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And when they, the world, this is a sign to know this is coming, when the world will cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them, not the brothers and sisters, as the pain in childbirth. But you're not in the darkness that that day should come upon you as a thief in the night, because you're children of the light, you're not of the darkness. So therefore, let us watch. Watch for the signs that he's given, that you might not be caught by surprise. And there are a whole lot of other scriptures would show that it's all right to know. Now, I'm going to go very rapidly this morning because, like last night, I want to cover another very important topic once we establish where we are in God's time frame and things that we should look for. Everything that I teach, and some people say it's pretty frightening, but I don't think so. You heard what God said this morning, and it's also backed up by Scripture. When evil shall abound, my grace shall abound all the more. And as Brother Golden pointed out very aptly, grace simply means the desire and the power to do God's will. And his will of what he's leading you today to do may not be what he'll lead you to do tomorrow. And the carnal interpretation of God gives you the desires of your heart. Boy, faith preachers and a lot of others get off on that. They miss the whole point. God will give you God-given desires in your heart. And if it's a God-given desire, it'll come to pass. It's not going to serve your old flesh and your carnal mind. Well, I didn't intend to preach. I wanted to teach. So, that thing about, are you one of those faith and prosperity preachers? And the guy answered and says, well, I'm sure not one of those doubt, non-belief, and poverty preachers. That's your alternative. Well, there are, there's so many things we could say, and it's hard to leave out. But I'll just simply point out there are at least three key dates that I believe that mark the time. Now, during the Six-Day War in 1967, it was my turn to brief the news media, which I had to do about every 3 to 4 months over in the Pentagon. It rotated among the bird colonels. And it was my turn to brief, and this was the third day of the Six-Day War, June the 7th, 1967. So I came in at 4 o'clock in the morning, started looking through the reports from the field, and one really caught my eye. It said, at 9 o'clock this morning, 7th day of June, 1967, Colonel Mordecai Gurr entered the gate of St. Stephen's, and 9 hours later, had absolute control. No, it was at 9 o'clock in the morning, and 8 hours later had absolute control of the whole city and proclaimed, we'll never again depart from this holy ground. Well, I knew that was in the Bible, but I didn't know where. When I got home late that night, I broke out the Young's Concordance and looked at all the scriptures that contained the word Jerusalem, and that's no small task. As well as I remember about 4 pages of them in very small print. Well, I found the one I was looking for, Luke 21:24. And Jerusalem shall be under the control of the unbeliever or the heathen or the Gentile until the fullness of the time of the Gentile or the maximum influence of the Gentile. And then I read it in context so I could see what I was talking about. Glory to God, that was a sign of the end of the age or the coming of the Son of Man. And I shared that our pastor at St. James Episcopal Church had 900 members, over 700 of them spoke in tongues. That's an unusual group of Episcopalians, to say the least. The frozen chosen was thawing out. And it was no longer the first church of the frigid air. Pastor David Lord, how's that for a name? His first name was C. I thought it was Cornelius, but it turned out it wasn't. But he was going on vacation, so I was senior warden. That's the senior elder. And he asked me to give 2 sermons while he was gone. So I shared with that bunch of people what I'd found in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. And they got excited about it, and I've been teaching on it ever since and getting a little more. 14th of May, 1948, Israel became a nation. Very important. We could go into the Bible numerics of those things. Very important. And then the 7th day of June, 1967, Jerusalem returned to the control of a nation, Israel. and on down the line. And a whole bunch of things. The most obvious sign is Matthew 24, verses 6 through 23. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, sure, there's over 100 going on right now. The United Nations was created to prevent wars, and we've had over 300 since 1948. Peace has broken out all over the world, and we pay a high price for it. Perpetual war for perpetual peace is the proper term. And it says nation against nation. Well, that's the Greek word nation, and this is true throughout the King James. There's only twice that nation actually refers to territory or land. The rest of the time it's ethnos, race against race. Do you see that today?
Yes.
And it's deliberate. They spend massive amounts of money, and we'll be talking about the conspiracy in one of these next sessions. And we'll show you that the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation spend millions of dollars to split the races and the classes and all the others. Deliberate. Race against race. Kingdom against kingdom. Well, there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. And we're in conflict, but praise God for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. We're winners. We're overcomers. And the gates of hell do not prevail because we attack the gates and the devil's on the run. Thank God. And famines. Boy, I don't even want to rehearse that. That's so frightening. And that's all engineered, too. And earthquakes. Man, you could do the statistics on that and on and on. Christians being killed for the Lord's name. Did you know there have been more Christians killed for their faith since 1900 than all prior 1900 years before? And it's going to get worse. As Revelation 22:11 says, when you see the filthy being more filthy, the evil being more evil, the unjust being more unjust. Do you see that? But that's not the end of the sentence. But you will see the righteous being more righteous and the holy more holy. Glory to God. The good news. Well, and crime will abound or increase. Well, that's sure happening. And, of course, the predominant sign of the final phase of the fall of any nation is homosexuality and sexual perversions. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, Romans 1, 26 through 32. It's the last days. Did you know, well, I don't want to get off on executive orders. We'll cover that. But the 28th of May of this year, Clinton put in an executive order giving homosexuals the same status as other minorities in government employees. Sodom on the Potomac. And Luke 21:25, and there shall be signs and wonders in the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth distress and bewilderment. Boy, you see that too. Interestingly, when I got to studying this, signs and wonders in the sky, the sun and the moon. Now, this was the so-called Olivet Discourse. The Lord was on the Mount of Olives after he had some problems over there with the Pharisees and Sadducees and told them they were a bunch of serpents and bad men, Matthew 23. And then he walked out and he said, I'll leave unto you your house desolate. It's God's house no more. It's been empty. And you'll never see me again until you cry, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he walked out. And his disciples came to him and said, but isn't it beautiful? Yeah. It's beautiful. And he turned on him and shocked him. He said, I tell you, not one stone that you can see where you're standing will be left one upon another that will not be cast down. Now, they were standing in the outer court. People say, well, it wasn't all torn down. They couldn't see the western wall or the wailing wall. They were up on the top. So what he said came to pass.
Yes.
And he walked down Kidron Valley up the other side. And sat on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came to him and asked him three questions. Man, when's this going to happen? When's the temple going to be destroyed? And he told them. It happened. He said it would happen within a generation. It did. A generation is 40 years. 37 years later, just as Daniel had prophesied in Daniel 9:26, the end of that verse, and Daniel 9:27, the end of the verse, he said another prince or a ruler would come, and he would utterly destroy the temple. And Titus did that, 70 A.D., and fulfilling Daniel and the other references that the Lord gave on it. And But the other two questions we'd be interested in, what's the sign of the end of the age, not the end of the world? The King James grossly mistranslates the word aeon, which means age or special time frame, as if it were the word cosmos, which is world, earth, or present order of things. If you'll read that true cosmos as present order of things, it's more accurate than translating it as world, because when the Lord takes over, the present order of things changes. But the earth is not going to pass away. It'll be changed, but not passed away. And that's sort of interesting. Things come to mind that have happened since 1968, when I started teaching this down at Gerald Erskine's Christian Retreat. After I had taught on a Saturday night, there wasn't going to be any rapture. The next morning, in one of the mornings, an old man came up to me, and man, was he uptight. And he came up to me. You can tell when they're angry. They walk stiff-legged, and their eyes are dilated. And looked like he'd had a couple of drags on the marijuana. He said, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm still going. God have it. What can you do? But this morning it came to mind on this was, as a nun came walking up to me, and she handed me the Bible, Matthew 24:30, something in there along about that time, which reads, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And I said, isn't that beautiful, sister? And she said, you don't get it, do you? And I said, well, no, what did you see in it? She said, well, if the earth is going to pass away, God's got to get us out of here. And I said, well, where are you going? She said, to heaven, of course. I said, let's read it again. She found out heaven passed away, too, and she had nowhere to go. Now, that's just an excellent example how you can read something with a preconditioned idea of what it says. And then she was really frustrated, and I told her, well, in its context and in the rest of the Scripture, it should read this way. The heavens may change and the earth may change, but my word never changes. So don't get caught in that trap. Oh, my. These events are but the beginning of the birth pangs. Very exciting. Birth pains, when these things start happening, they'll happen very rapidly. Birth pains, you ladies can quit listening now if you're a mother. But it starts out very gradually, but you know something's happening. In fact, something's been happening for about 9 months now. It's about to come to fruition. And the pain is very minor to start with, the contractions. But as the time of the new creation, isn't that beautiful, starts coming, the contractions get close together. Actually, as the time decreases in half, the intensity of pain doubles. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. It's a geometric progression, or if you were a real egghead, you'd say a function of the parabolic curve, so nobody knows what you're talking about. But it's a true representation. And so that's the way things are going. You can plot it out ever since 19... Well, I don't like to get bogged down in the... You just read a little book, Pray or Not to Pray. That has all the statistics on what happened when we took prayer out of the schools. This nation started going to hell in a handbasket. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. I love the gospel according to the bumper sticker. Says if there is... This bumper sticker said, if there isn't any hell, what am I doing in this handbasket? And the right to life one is a good one. It says, if it isn't a baby, you ain't pregnant. Or it says, be a hero, save a whale, save a baby, go to jail. And that's so true. Evil becoming evil, good becoming evil, evil becoming good. Surely marks the time we're in. But these are things that will occur as birth pains. Now, here's some secular stuff that confirms this. Alvin Toffler, you've probably heard of him. He's an atheist, agnostic at least, wrote an excellent book, Future Shock, in 1970. He said at the end of it, every aspect of human existence has changed more since about 1948. Didn't he pick 48 when Israel became a nation? Than all prior history. And since then, it's just be like the pain in childbirth. And this marks a great divide in human history. Indeed, it does. That was the beginning of the end of the age events. Luke 21:25, and there shall be signs and wonders in the sky. Oh, we got off on that. Signs and wonders in the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars. As I pointed out, on the Mount of Olives, if a jet airplane had flown by to that bunch of donkey riders and camel kickers, they would have thought, boy, now there's a sign and a wonder in the sky. And here we are sending things out in space. Man have walked on the moon and all those sort of things. Signs and wonders of the sky. It even says the sun and the moon. We've sent things out to the sun and found out it was hot. Jupiter, we're landing things on Jupiter and all those sort of things. And the earth was distresses. And Joel 20, verse 30 says, in the last days there will be columns of smoke and fire shaped like palm trees, thermonuclear explosions. And that's all in the Bible. But the sign of the end of the age is, and it's in Matthew 24:14, Mark 14:9. And this gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached throughout the whole world, and then shall come the end. Right. The clearest definition of the kingdom of God I can find is in Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. On the battlefield and other times, after I came to know the Lord and was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1959, I find that I didn't necessarily have to be happy to have righteousness, peace, and joy. Different altogether. Jesus said, as the world gives peace, I give you not, but I give you peace regardless of what's going on about it. Let the peace of God reign in your heart.
Yes.
Wiring the world, U.S. News and World Report. It's interesting, I don't have time to tell you how I was led to read these books. In 1972, so there has been an explosion in all kinds of communication since 1948. That will have a greater influence on our individual lives than the Industrial Revolution or the development of atomic power. Boy, we've sure seen that since 1972. And at the current rate, but it's going to go as the pain in childbirth. Within 5 years, 1977, we will have the capability of reaching every ear on this earth with any chosen message. Well, in 1948, we started getting television. The transistor came in. The tape recorder with its little cassette. That appeared in 1967. It's owned by Prince Bernhard, a part of the conspiracy. You can't avoid buying some of their stuff. But 75, Christian Coalition broke ground for the, not Christian Coalition, the Christian Broadcasting Network broke ground on the 7th day of June, 1967, for CBN. And I shared that on the 700 Club Flap, said, yeah, and we thought we made an arbitrary decision. But that was the day that Jerusalem returned to the control. No, God has everything under control. Someone asked Bill Gates, you know, of Microsoft, why doesn't he take a vacation? He said, why should I? I'm doing what I like to do. And besides, if I went away for a month, I'd never catch up. And that's probably true. Technical knowledge is doubling now about every 2 years. Computer knowledge is doubling every 6 months. So, and it's really, the satellite program came in at that time. Three satellites can bracket the world. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, preaching the everlasting gospel day and night. Three of them, it says in Revelation, Revelation 14:6. Went into a restaurant over in Japan in 1970, and it was amazing. Here was Pat Robertson and Ben Kinchlow speaking perfect Japanese on the 700 Club. Even sounded like them, and as Ben said, but we still laughed in English. Great. Because you can. You can select which language you want. In the European countries, just have a knob you turn. It's like closed caption over here. You can select it out to hear whatever language you want. So we're doing that. Well, there are a whole lot of other things we'll talk about, but I think it's most interesting to get on with pinning down the time frame. Let me show you a few things here that are interesting, I think, and I hope you find them interesting. God is moving by jubilees and generations. A jubilee is 50 years. A generation is 40. So in our history, there is a jubilee of 50, 4th of July, 1776, the Declaration of Independence. And there's so much else to talk about. But and then on the 4th of July, 1826, both Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died within 4 hours of each other, exactly 50 years later to the day. And each one died asking about the other one. It wasn't on the Internet at that time, so they didn't know. Then, a jubilee of 50 years. The first Zionist Congress resolved to create a Jewish state, and we could go into detail on that. And actually, a jubilee later, 1947, the conspiracy's headquarters, the United Nations established a Jewish state, came into existence 14th of May, 1948. Exactly a jubilee later. This is the 3,000 years of the jubilee of Israel. British General Allenby, a believer, took Jerusalem from the Turks 1917. Exactly 50 years later, Colonel Mordecai Gur retook Jerusalem from the Arabs in the 7th day of June 1967. At that time, and I've said this from the very beginning, because Jerusalem returning to the control of nation Israel is stated so clearly, we entered a transitional generation. It is not the terminal generation, regardless of what Hal Lindsey says. And it's a transition. We're transitioning into the next age. There's always been a transitional time from one age to another. Paul attested that in his scriptures. So a generation from 67 would come out to be the year 2007. Now there is, I think, the tribulation started the 67, seventh day, and it's a 40-year period. Isn't that glorious? We're about to come to the end of it, but it's getting as the pain in childbirth. It just gets worse and worse. Is anyone familiar with the Bible code? Well, great. You know then that the year 2006 just keeps coming up in the Bible code. So isn't that interesting? So, and the Lord said, but if that time was not cut short, no flesh would survive, but for the sake of the elect, it would be cut short. So be that as it may. A generation, 48 to 88, there's another mark for you, that and a rapture was scheduled a whole lot around that. Around that time, because they knew it was an interesting time, and it was. It was an important time, but it wasn't for rapture type. And then we come to this calculation, and you've probably seen a lot of this, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is but as one day. And so, and you can see that it's in 2 Peter 3:18 and Psalm 90, verse 4. And it's referred to in other places, but not that clearly. So, 2,000 years from Jesus to what we would call the millennium, 2 days, the millennium being one day. Now, we're following the Genesis story, the first mention of 6 days of creation and the seventh day of rest. It's erroneously called the 7 days of creation. It wasn't. It was the 6 days of creation because the seventh day was rest. He had completed his work by that time. And so that would be 2 days. And the third day scripture, there are a whole bunch of third day scriptures and seventh day scriptures. Exodus 19, verses 10 through 20. The Lord said to Moses, go down unto the people from this mountain, and sanctify the people for today and tomorrow, 2 days, and be ready for the third day. And Moses went down from the mountain unto the people, and he kept exhorting, we must be ready for the third day. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, I think it was 9 o'clock. That's an interesting time, but it doesn't say that. There was a thunder and lightning, and a thick cloud came down upon the mountain. And there was a voice from a trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people in the camp were frightened, and Moses brought them forth to meet with God. Doesn't that sound just like Thessalonians 4:13? God honking on a horn and proclaiming the whole thing. And sounds exactly like it. There's no disagreement in the scripture. Hosea 6:2. And after 2 days will God revive us, and in the third day he shall raise us up to live in his sight forever. Luke 13:32. Jesus said this, "You go tell Herod, that old fox, behold, I cast out demons, I heal the sick today and tomorrow, 2 days, and in the third day I shall be perfected." Well, Jesus was already perfect. What's he talking about? He's talking about the body of Christ, his church, which will be created without spot nor wrinkle. So the third day, prior to that time, it will be accomplished, because God said so. So the third day. In John, 2nd chapter, verse 1, "And on the third day there was a marriage feast in the Cana of Galilee." Well, there's a marriage feast of Revelation 20. And you could go on and on this. And that's where the first miracle, where the Lord turned water into wine. That's in case you're an Episcopalian. And if you're a Baptist, it was grape juice. But as they said, Jesus was John the Baptist was a Baptist. That's what it said, John the Baptist. And he baptized Jesus, so that made Jesus a Baptist too. Well, I disagree with that. Remember he said, Jesus said, John the Baptist came abstaining, and you said he was possessed of a demon, and the Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you say he's a glutton and a wine bipper. So he had to be an Episcopalian. But so the third day, and the marriage feast of the Lamb. Verse 20, the millennium. A thousand-year period is mentioned six times. I think it is a thousand-year. Yeah, it's mentioned six times. Isn't that interesting? There's a lot of clues in the Scripture. We're talking about we'll come up on that now. We're talking about a seventh day now. We're talking about 6 days. And the thousand years is mentioned six times in the book of Revelation. Now, having served a considerable amount of time in the Far East, I knew, and it's also true in the Hebrew and other languages, that when you read about a thousand, you don't, whether it's the number after 999 or whether it's just a big number. And I'll give you many examples of that. But, so, the thousand year time. So now we're talking about 7 days or 6 days, really. But the seventh day, Genesis 2, 1 through 3, Exodus 20, verse 11, and Genesis 31, 17. God completed his creation on the sixth day, and the seventh day he entered into a rest. Yea, a Sabbath rest. Now that's a pattern for us. Hebrews 4:4 says, God did rest on the seventh day from all of his works, verse 9 says, and there remains yet to come a Sabbath rest for the people of God, when the devil is bound and all of that, when we walk in freedom. So now we're going to look at the 7 days first mentioned. 2 days, 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, that's 2 days, and for Abraham to Jesus, another 2,000 years, making a total of 4 days, and then 2,000 years from Jesus to what we'll call the millennium, for lack of a better word, and that makes a total of 6 days. And in that beautiful, the third day and the seventh day turn out to be the same day, letting everything be established out of the mouths of two or three. Now, I want to direct your attention to you mathematicians, if you're watching. Look at that over here. 8 is the number for new beginnings and resurrection. And in fact, we'll get into that, Jesus' name, and you've heard me teach on that, Jesus' name in the Greek adds up to 888. New beginnings, resurrection, spirit, soul, and body. In the Greek, in the Hebrew, it adds up to 777. Spiritual perfection, spirit, soul, and body. That's considerably better than 666. And or 666. But you lay that 8 down on its side, and it becomes the mathematical symbol for infinity. Now you go back and you check the book of Genesis, you'll find that the seventh day had no end. Morning and the evening of the third day, morning and evening of the fourth day, morning and evening of the fifth day, morning and evening of the sixth day, but seventh day had no end. So if things are going pretty good after 1,000 years, don't knock it. Just go along with it. And I'm going to be alive and remain. I'm 78, so it's got to hurry up. No, I've got 120. That's the number that's added on. Now then, as if God didn't know all these things, 40 years is a generation, Numbers 32:13, Psalm 95, verse 10, and also Hebrews 3:10 and also 17. 50 years is a jubilee. Leviticus 25:10 and 15. So a biblical year is 40 jubilees or 50 generations, whichever way you want to look at it. 2,000 years or 2 days. 6,000 years is 120 jubilees. Third day and the seventh day in the millennium. And, of course, Kings 5:12, you know, the 120 priests that couldn't stand in the temple because the glory of God was so great they had to get out. How many were in the upper room? 120. 12 is God's divine order. 10 is those that have been tested. And so the 120. Now we know, even though the Hebrews, and I hope you know the difference between Hebrew and Jew. There are many Bible teachers that don't. Really don't know. No, there are 12 or 13 that make up the Hebrews, and Judah was only one of the 12 or 13. There are 6,000 solar years from Adam to the year 2001. So we're getting very close. It was something I wanted to mention. I forgot it. You know, that's one of the signs, as the old joke goes. When you get older, three things begin to fail. Your memory, and I keep forgetting the other two. And my response would have been, I sure hope I can remember to do that. But now the feast. We see that we're in approximately the same time and many other things. Colossians 2nd chapter verses 16 and 17 says, "Let no man judge you by what you eat or drink, nor by the new moons, nor by the Sabbath days." Most people don't know, Schofield apparently didn't, a lot of the others, that every feast day is a Sabbath day. It doesn't make any difference if it comes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, it's still a Sabbath day. It means they do no servile work. If you ever go to Israel, they have a Sabbat elevator. They won't even punch the button to make the elevator work. And in there, I have to remember which way it was. Oh, when it goes up, it stops at every floor. So everybody go. But then it's an express coming down. And so the kids are always in the hotels running a race between their parents and the others to beat them to the floor. But the Sabbat, they won't even punch a button. They're servile, you know, keeping the law. For these, the feast and Sabbath days, are only a type or a shadow or an outline of things to come. So they are prophetic. And you'll also find in Hebrews that everything that was written in the past about them of the past, and it's already talked about who it's talking about, are types and shadows unto us upon whom the ends of the ages have come. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says the same thing. So here we have the feast. There's Passover, there's Pentecost, and there's Tabernacles. And there's more time devoted to the wilderness tabernacle than any other inanimate object in the Bible. Some 52 chapters. So that they get it right, and it's loaded. My wife has a five-hour teaching on the tabernacle of Moses, of the colors and the distances and everything. So if you've been born again or born from above, John 3:3, you've entered into the outer court. Big place, lots of folks out here. It's interesting to point out that each of these posts are 9 cubits high, the gifts, and they're also 5 cubits apart. 5 is grace. So everywhere you look, you're surrounded by grace on all sides. And so you come in through the gate, and John's Gospel says Jesus is the gate. In fact, John's Gospel is a pattern of coming in through the gate and in through here. So, but here's the important thing about the outer court. Those are people that are saved. Their spirit has been saved, been justified. They've accepted Jesus as their Savior, and some are trying to even let him be Lord. But you have to see out here, they spend at least half of their life in darkness. They're exposed to night and day out there. So their doctrines become their salvation. If you don't think so, just try to kick the rapture around a little bit. And so that's not it. Then you move into the holy place in here behind it. Now, the only light in there, and it'd probably be better if we showed you a schematic of that, the only light in there is the lampstand, the oil and the lampstand. The outer, we'll push it up there so you can see. The only light in there is the oil in the lampstand over here, the menorah. Well, what's the oil? It's the Holy Spirit. And it sheds the light on the showbread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And, of course, the incense is the prayers of the saints coming up as a sweet, savory odor. So this would be the basic salvation people. And here would be the Pentecostals. And isn't it interesting that the volume of the holy place is 2,000 cubed cubits as a biblical age? And you move into the Holy of Holies, which we talked about, and here's the curtain that was rent from top to bottom when Jesus was crucified. The only light in there is God himself, the Shekinah glory. And not surprising, it's half the size of this, 1,000 as in the millennium. So it's all contained in there, and it's a whole lot more. And it just goes on and on. So we have no excuse. God has given us those types and shadows and examples that we can go by. And here are just a few of the threes, and there are a whole bunch of sevens also. But you can see that Jesus, Christ, and Lord. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies, outer gate, door of the tabernacle, inner level, Savior, anointed one, King, salvation, anointed spirit, adoption, Passover, Pentecost, tabernacles, way of the truth and the life, spirit, soul, body, justified, sanctified, glorified, righteousness, peace, and joy, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, coat, robe, ephod, faith, hope, love, milk, bread, meat, chosen on down the line. I think that's a very small list. I think Tommy Cook says there are at least 150 of those, so it gives us a little clue. So if you've been baptized, if you've been born again or born from above, then your spirit's just as saved as if it's ever going to get. It's justified. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the signs following, then your soul is being sanctified, is the proper word. You're putting on the mind of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and the washing of the Word. That's right out of Scripture. But there's another feast coming. You see, there's a third salvation. Peter talks about there is a third salvation to be revealed in the last days. Now, he knew about spiritual salvation. He knew about soul salvation. So there is the body. And the proper term for that is the redemption of your body. And the pattern is very clear that the Israelites kept Passover in captivity, and then the death angel passed over. Then 50 days, Pentecost. 50 days later, they arrived at Mount Sinai and received the law. But the Feast of Tabernacles, which we're coming up to, in case I forget it, the men's conference will be held here during Tabernacles. And that was only to be kept in the Promised Land. You see the pattern? Slaves in Egypt, free but in the wilderness for Pentecost. And that upset some Pentecostals to find out that Pentecost is a wilderness experience. They think they're in the Promised Land. No, they haven't. Tabernacles is to be kept in the Promised Land. Very clear. Now, why would we emphasize that? Well, Jesus was crucified at Passover. He was nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. The Holy Spirit was poured out at 9 o'clock in the morning. So now we know an hour, don't we? And at each of those said when the fullness of time had come. So we know there's a time a coming. In fact, as the prophecy came, it's been available for quite a while. I think it's been available at least since about 1997, maybe even before then. We just haven't accepted it. Remember, you had to know that you were lost before you could be saved. You had to know that you could be baptized in the Holy Spirit before you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now you have to know that you don't have it all before you can keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll get into that. Well, of course, as 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery or a secret. We shall not all die, but we all shall be transfigured, transformed, or changed in a moment, in the blinking of an eye. And the dead in Christ shall be resurrected and incorruptible, and the alive and remain will be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says the same thing, and 2 Corinthians 3:18 alludes to it, and Romans 8:23. because we have received the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, wherein it is the redemption of our body. Now, if you look up the word redemption, you'll find it always applies to the body. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed or marked until the day of our redemption. We won't have time to talk about the mark of the beast, but the tape is here. You can get it, the mark of the beast. There's probably more goofy stuff taught on that than there is on the rapture. So get it so that you don't be worried about it. God marks his people at least 9 times before you arrive at Revelation 13, and the devil can't get that mark out. And Revelation 9:4, Ezekiel 9:4, Revelation 7:3, and a whole bunch more. And the seal is the Holy Spirit, very clearly. You put on the mind of Christ, the mark in the forehead. The problem that gets you into trouble with the marking is worshiping the beast. But get the tape, mark of the beast, and be at peace. Luke 21:28. When these things begin to come to pass, look up. That is, don't be depressed. Your redemption draweth nigh. The rapturists believe that to be the rapture. It's not. You see, you are a three-part being. Well, really not. You are a spirit. You have a soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotion. And you're currently residing in a body. I don't know how anyone can understand Scripture without understanding that. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, for me, the spirit, to be out of this body is to be with the Lord. And the Lord brings the departed saints' spirits back with him, 1 Thessalonians, and they're resurrected first because they're not in the AER, they're in the GROUND. And as soon as they come out of the graves and into the air, then their spirits merge with their bodies, and we who are with them, been alive and remain, will be changed in a moment in the blinking of an eye. That's the reason the dead in Christ have to be resurrected first. That's the Episcopalians, the dead in Christ. But so they'll be first. And you can't even begin to understand 2 Corinthians 1:10 without knowing this. Listen to what Paul wrote. God has delivered us, spirit. God is delivering us, our soul. But he is yet to deliver us, our body. Very clearly. 1 Peter 1, 3, and 7, and there is a third salvation to be accomplished or revealed in the last days. Remember, Paul said, not that I've attained, but this I do, pressing on. And he and John both got some things that that's not lawful for us to share with you. You're not able to receive it yet. So we'll look at this Feast of Tabernacles. Very important. The Passover is in the first Hebrew month. And Pentecost is in the third Hebrew month, and Tabernacles is in the seventh Hebrew month. Leviticus 23:34. For the Feast of Tabernacles starts the 15th day of the seventh month. It lasts for 7 days and is the seventh and last feast. 777. The name of Jesus in Hebrew adds up to 777. So let's look at the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know how many times I had read, we'll just look at it. You know, you read things, and then one day something happens. The Hebrew Feast. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles, it's up there at the top. I want you to get the scripture so you know I'm not jerking you around. 23:34. It's also in Exodus. Is the seventh and last feast, is the seventh Hebrew month, and its duration is 7 days. And Yom Kippur is for the salvation of the soul. Where is Mildred? She ought to hear that, salvation of the soul. And Yom Kippur is on the 10th day, so the first day of the Levitical the Feast of Tabernacles would be the 15th day. Now, all of our calendars have Yom Kippur on it, so you can always locate the Feast of Tabernacles. Just count 5 days over, and it's right there. So, and it lasts for 7 days. Now, some people said, no, it lasts 8. No, it doesn't. It says you'll keep the feast for 7 days, and in the 8th day you'll call a holy in gathering. So, and I was reading Genesis 8:4. Did you know that the ark of Noah came to rest on Mount Ararat the 17th day of the 7th month? And the alarm went off in my head, well, you idiot, that's the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. 15, 16, 17, third day of Feast of Tabernacles. Glory. What did Jesus say? The coming of the Son of Man will be as in the days of Noah. Noah had arrived.
Hallelujah.
And any time you think you got it all, then your trip's over. But you haven't. I look in the mirror and I don't see Jesus looking back, so I haven't arrived. Because when he shall appear, we'll be like him.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So that was good, and I just said, Lord, oh, Jesus, I knew that our Lord was transfigured and transformed during the Feast of Tabernacles. Because remember, Peter said, let us build three tabernacles. He wouldn't have said that except during the Feast of Tabernacles. That was when the cloud came down and covered them, and he saw Moses and Elijah, all that. So I got a just almost an audible voice said, well, read it again. So I did with a little enlightenment. Matthew 17:2 here says, and Mark 9:2 said that Jesus was transfigured and transformed. Now, before his crucifixion is a type of those who are going to be alive and remain. He's also a type of the resurrection of the others that are dead. Jesus is our example. 17:2, Mark 9:2 said it was after the sixth day. Well, Luke said 9:28 it was before the eighth day. Well, for you sailors and Air Force and other, and even a Marine can figure out if it's after the sixth and before the eighth, it's around the seventh, wouldn't you say? Because there just aren't many days between six and eight except seven. Oh, I thought, glory to God, that's great. So that would be, and so I called up three messianic rabbis I knew. Some of you have heard of Sid Roth, Manny Brockman, Paul Lieberman. I knew them all, called them independently, and I told them what I was working on, and each one of them had a big glory spell, and when they settled down, I told them, well, yeah, that's great, but what's their point of reference here? What were they counting? And he said, well, it was Yom Kippur. It was the number of days, because Yom Kippur was the great feast. They found out their sins were forgiven, and they had another year before they'd have to go through all that again. And as Sid Roth said, only a Gentile would ask such a stupid question. But, so that would also be here. It was the seventh day. There you got it. Same day that Noah's Ark came to rest. 7 days after here, 17 over here. So will everything be established? Oh, we can get into when they start, but man, we can get bogged down on that as to whether it's their agricultural year or their spiritual year, or it'd be their spiritual year here. And so you can Jerusalem return to the control of Israel the third day of the six-day war. So how do you keep the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. You cannot keep the Feast of Tabernacles until you have kept Passover and Pentecost. You're not even a candidate. Because Passover is in the first Hebrew month, Pentecost, third Hebrew month, and Tabernacles, the seventh Hebrew month. So you have to keep Passover and Pentecost to be a candidate. But you will be changed. If you've ever read Pat Robertson's book, The End of the Age, they looked at each other and they realized they had been changed. They weren't the same people. So I don't know, but I do know that. But I do know that we'd have a pattern. The ones that were waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out at Pentecost, they didn't have the foggiest idea of what was going to happen. But they were obedient. You remember we find out that Jesus told 500 to wait until. And that's open-ended. Wait until when? They didn't know how long. But only 120 were obedient. But when it happened, glory to God, Peter jumped up and said, boy, this is that the prophet Joel prophesied 700 years ago. And it came to pass. So when we put on the glorified body, which I would call the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, the world will know it also. Because you will be changed and you'll just be a whole together, a different world. Now, We'll be seeing this again when I talk on the New World Order update, and I'm not going to repeat what I've taught in the past on the New World Order conspiracy because we just don't have time. Things are happening too fast. You'll just have to get the last tape that was here on understanding world events. But this is a pattern that's followed all countries. Israel followed it. From bondage came faith. From faith came strength. From strength came abundance. From abundance came dependence. From dependence came fear. And from fear back to bondage. The United States is right along here. So went Israel and Judea. Will it be America? I don't know. We certainly don't deserve a whole lot better. Now, I want to quickly show you something that, to me, is most exciting because I've never seen anyone else that has seen this, and it is copyrighted, but that's just to keep Hal Lindsey and people like that from stealing it. That's sure, but I want you to see it. And we won't have time because the tape is here. The audio tape is here. Is on Mr. 666. Now, I don't call him the Antichrist because there's John wrote the first and second epistles of John, and that's the only place you find the word Antichrist. And it's a spirit, so it's not a man. But you'll also read about the second beast in the book of Revelation. The first beast is clearly described as Satan himself, and Mr. 666 is his agent. And it's going to shock a lot of people, but I had always suspected it. Had you ever wondered why John didn't have an Olivet Discourse? Matthew, Mark, and Luke did. Well, John was on the Mount of Olives. Why didn't he write about it? Well, he did. It's the book of Revelation. He wrote the book of Revelation before he wrote his gospel. There's an excellent book by Ken Gentry. It's his doctoral discourse, and he establishes that fact, that it was, and most of the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. Most of it was telling them to be ready for what was coming through the Roman Empire. And I know that most of the Bible schools today teach that everything's future. Boy, is that stupid. To think that God was doing nothing in mankind for 1,900 years, and then all of a sudden he wakes up and thinks he's got to do something? Come on, get with it. How about Martin Luther and all the other things that went on? And what about the 666? Makes it very clear what he was talking about. The Roman numerals that they use. You know the Roman numerals, they put it on the corner of buildings so you can never know when the thing was built. But I is equal 1, V is equal 5, X is equal 10, L is equal 50, C is equal 100, D is equal 500, add them up and it's 666. So it's clear he's talking about the Pope and the other bunch over there. As old Mr. Pentecost used to say, He said, if the Pope ever begins to speak in tongues, the Pentecostal will have to find a new Antichrist. But
most people don't know who Mr. Pentecost is.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. He was a blessed old gent. I was talking to him at a...
Who is
David Duplessis from South Africa. Dear brother, I was standing, my wife and I were talking to him in the lobby at Washington, D.C., at the Washington Hilton, at the World Convention. We're just standing there chatting, and the dear lady came up in tears. She said, oh, Brother David, oh, my son's been locked up for peddling dope. And David smiled and said, cheer up, sister. You'll meet the Lord a lot quicker there than you would in most churches. there's a system called the Gematra. See, the Greeks and the Hebrews, they didn't have the Arabic numbers that we have today. So they assigned a number to every letter in their alphabet. So you can see what I'm talking about. One's the Greek and the other's the Hebrew. You can get that out of an abridged dictionary or under numerics or under alphabet. You can look it up. That's where this came from. And so any system you come up with, the first five letters would have to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But in the Greek, there is no number 6 in the phonetic alphabet. 6 appears down here, as with two other letters, which have no phonetic alphabet, never used in words, but it has to complete their numerical sequence, the same as over in Hebrew. It has 4 of them that have no phonetic value. So Oh, that little book, Theomatics, was excellent and gave me a clue. It said whatever language you came up with, the first five letters would have to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to fit the pattern that God had established with Greek and Hebrew. So, this was very exciting because I had read the biography of Henry Kissinger. I knew he was the head man in the conspiracy. He's the front man. He's the coordinator. In fact, for the last 3 years, including this year, when Hill and Bill go to Martha's Vineyard, they usually stay in Robert McNamara's home, and the other house guest is always Henry Kissinger. And so Bill gets his signals. And his biography appeared in a little book entitled The Naked Capitalist by Leon Skousen, and it appeared on page 111. So I had added up Kissinger with the English alphabet because the world's language today is certainly not Greek, and it sure as heck not Hebrew, because most of the Hebrews don't even speak Hebrew. And so, but the language of the world today is English, and it's highly upsetting that many people can't use the internet except in the English language, and they're ticked off about it. And so, I'd been around the world a few times, and everywhere I went, everybody could understand English as long as I had money. But you run out of money, and don't complain that. But so I saw that I just simply made A equal 1, B equal 2. So there we go. The first five letters are just like the Greek and Hebrew. And Kissinger added up to 111. And then I went back to that group at St. James Episcopal Church, and I put that up on the board. And I showed it 111, but I could add 555, but I had no scripture for that. I could multiply it by 6, and I didn't have any scripture for that. And a dear little lady, Jane Skull, said, "Well, Brother Speed, if you'll do what it says, it'll work." And I said, "Well, Jane, what does it say?" It says very clearly, calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of man. It's not the number of a man. The A isn't there in the Greek. It's the number of man. Well, God created man on the sixth day, gave him 6 days to labor, and Jesus Christ, mortal man, hung on the cross for exactly 6 hours. So, 6 times 111 makes Kissinger add up to 666. Right on. So, it gets better. Now, the mathematical probability, and I don't have time to get into that because we had to study it in engineering, but the mathematical probability of that happening is 26 to the 26th power. And any time you have anything that's 10 to the 10th power is impossible. So it did there. But it even gets better. I won't give you the background on these, but a man who had been in the order of Satan. Order of Satan, and his ministry was numerology. And so what they do in numerology is they take the name with which you were christened, and they assign the alphabet. For those that, well, you should just get the tape, Mr. 666. But you write the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I across the top. 9 letters, and the first 5 you see are still fitting the pattern. Then you write the under and under, and under the 8 would be H, Q, Z. Now then, you substitute, and his name isn't Henry. His name is Heinz. Heinz Alfred Kissinger. Heinz equals 35, Alfred equals 28, Kissinger equals 48, 111 times the number of man, 666. So, I found that I didn't really know how to work it in Greek, and a dear lady from Greece, it was down at Gerald Erstein's when I was teaching on this, about 1,200 people watching and getting a little upset because they'd been taught they're going to be raptured out before this guy showed up. But he's here, and he's been here a while. They said, "Well, what if he dies?" "So what? He's already done everything he's done. Judas Iscariot died, but he did what he's supposed to do." And so she came up and says, "Brother Speed, it works like this. You take the Greek, and you take Heinz, and it's alpha, iota, nu, zeta, 68. Kissinger, kappa, iota, sigma, iota, nu, gamma, epsilon, rho, 598, add to 68. Don't even have to multiply it. Comes out 666. And that, to me, it's not a fair type thing. It's just a confirmation that we are in the last days, the end time. That's all. Nothing more. Now then, where does Heinz hang out? Well, when Nelson Rockefeller was killed in the drug wars, he took over Nelson's secretary, married her, Nancy McGinnis, and moved into Nelson's home. And that's where he resides today. And it's in New York. Look at this. ABC, NEW, YORK, 111, multiplied by the number of men. New York is the modern-day Babylon. Don't buy any real estate in New York. Babylon is falling, you remember, or had you checked the stock market lately? It's all in the Bible. It's in the book. A nuclear engineer in Ireland sent me this. We still correspond. You know, you never know where these tapes are going. I've had complete sets for one man in Poland sent me $300 in U.S. funds to send me a copy of every tape I'd ever made. And there's one from Ireland, which is this brother sent. And he pointed out that to confirm the New York thing, the biblical one is A equals 26, and he saw the occult. But he also knows that there is a Napoleonic system that he called. So you would take in the Napoleonic system, probably best to point out which is which. This over here would be the biblical one, 14. So you take NEW and it turns out to be 42, and in the Napoleonic system, you add those two until you come up with a single digit. So that comes out to be 6. New York is 42, 4 plus 2 is 6. Then you take York, or the biblical one over here, is 69, 6 plus 9 is 15, 1 plus 5 is 6. And under the occult up here, the satanic one, NEW is all 555 is 15, 1 plus 5 is 6. And York is 24, 2 plus 4 is 6. So the mathematical probability of this is just impossible. And Visa card, Visa is the same in all languages, but VI, the first, is 6 in the Roman numeral. And in the Greek, S is number 6, as in 666, stigma. And the biblical 1A is 6, so it's 666. But I don't attach a whole lot of significance to that other than it's just interesting. And here is one that you will find interesting. Would never be able to buy and sell with a number without a computer. The computer makes it possible. And there it is. C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R. Computer adds up to 111 multiplied by the number 6666. Computer. So no one was able to buy or sell without a number. What is the number? Social Security System, SSS, 666. Does that send you to hell? Of course not. It's even more humorous up in Canada. Any Canadians here? If you did, we'd like for you to show us your card. It's their social insurance number. It's their SIN. It's their SIN number. I wrote for some information on the Consul of Foreign Relations in New York, and they referred me to the Consul of Foreign Relations, Chicago Branch, Michigan Avenue, and their zip code is 60606. How obvious can they get? Of course, being satanic, they like that sort of thing. So, there again, all of that is just to confirm that we are where we think we are, and look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. If you think that's exciting, a friend of mine, Bonnie Gaunt, has written an outstanding book.
She was on the 700 Club.
Yeah, I recommended her to Pat, and it was amazing. Pat had her on. Usually when I write Pat to do something like that, it takes 6 or 8 months. Within 2 weeks, he had her on.
Yeah, last week.
Wasn't she good?
Yeah.
I could have kicked Pat in the rear end. They took up so much time goofing around, and I knew that she was going to be on. She had written and told me that she was going to be on September the 1st. And then Pat at the end of it, oh, I wish I had an hour to talk to you. Well, you character, you blew 30 minutes just goofing around. Well, anyhow, this dear lady has been working with the Gematra. Gematra meaning the numerical equivalent of your word or name or whatnot since she was 14 years old. So she read the Bible code, and Pat had said this, and that's what I'm reading about. He said, it would seem that in the Bible code, it would mention Messiah somewhere in the Bible, of course, in the old code, the five books of the books of the law is the Bible code. And it's equal spaced wording. So Bonnie got up at 3 o'clock one morning, and she could do this. She went in and she wrote down Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and his kingdom, and he will rule upon the earth forever and ever, and his kingdom will have no end. So after she wrote that out in the Hebrew and assigned it its numbers, each one through, she said, well, now, Lord, what spacing shall I look? So she took the spiritual perfection number, number 7, and glory to God. It came out 888. The name of Yeshua in Greek. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it gets better from then on. It just, and what blesses me is the secular world doesn't know it. But you know the expansion of the 800 telephone number? It's 888. You'll be dialing Jesus every time you dial. 888. I think God does. He says he laughs in heaven. I think he did that really great. And there's some other things that, oh, there's just so much in this book, you just have to buy it. It's $10 back there. And to get it, she gets in, you take the name Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, it comes out to what be 3,184. And that's the exact distance from the earth. If you put the moon in touching the earth, it's the exact distance from the center of the earth to the center of the moon. And she just goes, you know, if you ever doubted that God has everything under control and he created this, just get the book. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you and keep you, and he will. And go, don't go home without him. Don't leave home without him. Any questions, never quit, because it's right at 5 minutes.
We're out of question time.
Okay, we're out of question.
I want to make a remark here about the number 666 and the Antichrist. People are saying, what are we going to do if we have to take the mark? What's the matter here? We have to take the... Oh, this battery's running out. Let me...
Okay. You know, what he's going to say, and it's really great, and I forgot to. Please, there's a tape here that I made quite a few years ago, and it's entitled Mark of the Beast. I think I mentioned that before. Get that tape and don't live in fear, because I don't know why people like to be frightened. Go ahead.
God's got it all taken care of, because what he's looking for is a person that's the intercessor, which is marked 3 places in the Bible. God has marked the overcomer, the intercessor. And if you've got the mark of the overcomer, the intercessor, the mark of the beast, or any other mark, makes no difference, because you're marked with God's mark, and it supersedes any other mark.
And it's so, very, very interesting, too, that twice in there it says, and I've said before, and it's true, and I give you all the scriptures, that what gets you in trouble is worshiping the beast. But it says twice before that, everyone on the earth will worship the beast whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it doesn't apply to you. Forget it. You know, these preachers would have you believe the book of Revelation is the revelation of Antichrist. It isn't. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John wrote it, and if he was talking about the Antichrist, he'd have said Antichrist, but he didn't.
No, the book of Revelation is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Speed said, probably 90% of it or better is already all fulfilled. It's not future. It's from an even part of it at the time that John wrote it was even past, some of it. But most of it was from John's time till now. And it has been fulfilled throughout these last 2,000 years. And we're down to the end. We're at the time of the consummation of the ages when all of that is already past. But the thing is, the tradition has said, oh, be afraid of the Antichrist. No. Tradition should tell us, be afraid that we're not marked with God's mark of intercession. 3 times in the scriptures it says that we're marked, that God marks us. In Ezekiel 9, in Revelation 9:4, and Ezekiel 9:4, both the same. And Revelation 7:3. Yes, brother?
Brother, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but it seems important. Did I understand the brother to say that if we have been sealed with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, okay?
Yeah.
Spirit, whatever, that this supersedes anything
imposed on us. Absolutely. Absolutely.
In other words, if I go through torture, and I'm pretty good at suffering, you know, I don't like hurts.
Yeah.
I'm likely to yield, just as the psychops used to do it in Korea. Uh-huh. They're forced to say things we didn't, that weren't true.
Right.
Does the same principle apply?
Well, I'm not going to get out and say yes or no to that, Speed?
No, don't misunderstand. A lot of us are going to die.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah, then when I first started talking on the conspiracy, a dear man came up and he's real concerned. He says, "Brother, don't you know they killed people for saying a lot less than you said?" And it just came out, you know, heaven doesn't scare me a whole lot.
Right.
So, you know, it's bang and hello, Lord. So it's no big deal. And yeah.
If he is sealed, he doesn't need to worry about tomorrow.
Well, no.
Well, okay. This is your teaching.
I know it is. The reason it's been taught the other way, they want to scare you into being affiliated with their denomination.
Okay.
And it says that, says twice, and I give you the scriptures on the mark of the beast, and you really ought to get it, because it's coming up. Did you know that by the first day of October of next year, 1999, everyone in the United States will have an identification card that will have their Social Security number on it. Ohio's already issued it, and I have it. And that is your control number. It'll have your address on it. They'll know where you're supposed to be. The whole name of the game is control. Control, control, control. So, but the reassuring part, and worshiping the beast gets you in trouble. Three times it tells us that. The preachers don't know the difference between an and an or. Man, if they were trying to fly an airplane and didn't know the difference between an and an or, they'd never get it out of the chalks. Because if it says you do this or that, you don't do them all. You do one of the two. If it says you do this and that and that and that, you do it in that order. Or is an exclusion. And is inclusive. And worshiping the beast gets you in trouble, not the mark. You already have the mark. It's a Social Security number. 666.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.